Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise podcast. My name is Chris, and today, on this fine Sunday morning, I am joined by my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James T. Downey.
Hello.
And what is episode 88?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, this should have been a Back to the Future special.
Oh, could have been really good.
It's not. We need to keep on top of our episode numbers.
As you're told by the title, it's very far from the Back to the Future special. And if you're watching the video version, you will be intrigued to see that we have changed locale because we are getting some maintenance work done to the studio. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to do quite a bit of work to it over the Christmas break now.
Are you going to insulate it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Insulate the walls and put carpet on floor.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. That's the plan, anyway. Yeah. I hope so.
That's good to hear. Yeah. So we're moved out for the winter, are we?
I think we're moved out for at least the next month. Mm. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The next four episodes you will see will come from right here, my bedroom.
Well, you say four episodes in a month, and I say...
four episodes. That'll take us through to the new year, no problem. thank you for joining us on what is the Sunday the 3rd of November. Mm-hmm. And I don't have my book of On This Day list, so I had to go back in time. This is the site I used to use when we did On This Day back in Killigola times. So, important events. 1534, English Parliament passes the Act of Supremacy. Henry VIII and subsequent monarchs become head of Church of England. Let me see. The Soviet Union. In 1957, the Soviet Union launches Sputnik 2 with dog Laika aboard. Siberian husky, the first animal in space.
That's brilliant.
That's pretty cool.
A dog was the first animal in space. I thought they sent monkeys first.
They
probably sent dogs. I think they sent monkeys, yeah. Oh, fucker, could be way off.
What do they do with monkeys? What do they do with animals in space?
Because they wanted to see, like...
Just test the effects?
Yeah, like, if you send an animal out of the atmosphere, do they just die? You know?
So they send them out?
In space? Gone. No, they come back down.
All right, okay.
That's the weird thing about sending someone up into, like, out of Earth's atmosphere. Like, you think that once you get out, you're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
But it's like, you get out, and unless you keep, like, giving it juice to keep going... gravity's so strong, you're coming right back down.
Really?
Yeah. You'd be halfway to the moon, but if you're not... within the moon's like pull, you come straight back to Earth.
No way. Yeah. I always picture like as soon as you go up there and you go, it's just like, bye. It's got drift away forever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, if you get far enough out that like you're not getting any drag or whatever, and you start pushing, then unless something pushes down again, then, you know what I mean? Nothing's stopping you going forward, so you keep going forward.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much infinite.
What would ever stop you coming? Like, what would ever push you back? Nothing?
Drag. So once you're past drag, I suppose. But yeah, realistically, like, sending, like, you know, like the space station and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, unless they're going, like, really fucking fast. Wow. It's coming right back down to Earth.
Did not know that. There we go. 1970, US President Richard Nixon promises the gradual troop removal of Vietnam.
That was a big thing, actually.
That was a big thing. Mm-hmm. But 1970, when did Vietnam end?
1971.
Was it 1971?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Summer 69.
In music then, 1992, I Will Always Love You, the Dolly Parton cover single released by Whitney Houston, became Billboard Song of the Year 1993.
Single.
That was released then. In film, Tokyo Story, a Japanese film directed by...
What was that?
It's called Tokyo Story.
Tokyo Story.
Okay. Yeah, 1953. And in sport, Ayrton Senna wins the Australian Grand Prix in Adelaide, the shortest ever Formula One race of 14 laps because of wet conditions. the American Continental Army is disbanded, and that's pretty much it. Today, Turkey switches from the Arabic to the Roman alphabet in 1928.
Cool.
There you go.
The Roman alphabet is like our alphabet, no?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Or do they use... No, that's Roman numerals. Yeah, I would imagine it would be the same, yeah. It's Charles Bronson's birthday today.
Charles Bronson.
You know, like that crazy, like English, like gangster kind of dude? Do you ever see the film?
Yeah.
Bronson, actually?
Yes.
Yeah, it's his birthday today.
good for him.
And tomorrow is Walter Cronkite's birthday. Who is Walter Cronkite?
He's like a US journalist, isn't he? Or like a news host or a anchor, one of those dudes, pretty sure.
Ah, okay. I mean, it gives you birthdays and everything. We don't really care about birthdays.
There's a couple of things you mentioned there that's kind of relevant today. The Formula One, did it get wrapped up there like last weekend? This weekend? The weekend before?
It could have, but it hasn't.
Oh, right.
Hamilton is still...
Was it then, was it the manufacturer or something got wrapped up?
Constructors' Championship is wrapped up. Mercedes have won it again. But in terms of the Drivers' Championship, it's still going. It's still...
That's good.
Kind of all the play for... It's only between two people, both Mercedes drivers, but...
Oh, it's, Hamilton and what's his name?
Bottas.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing I read about that is, like, they have approved, like, new plans for 2020.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is, like, meant to make it, like, more tightly contested and stuff.
Yeah, there's a $175 million cap spend for all teams. Mm. So you can't really run away with it now.
So you can't, just, like, have... just. Way more just, money and better.
The likes of like Mercedes would just be like just throwing money at their car, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's got to make that pretty good. That's pretty cool. 25 maximum races. The cars have all changed.
Well, I've seen a concept of the cars.
Loaded. A couple of really nice new locations as well. They're going to Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Next year. The year after, they're going to Miami for street circuits. Vietnam's a street circuit as well, actually. It looks pretty cool. And where's the other one? Netherlands next year as well.
Nice. That's not too far away.
Pretty cool, yeah. You watched the Rugby World Cup?
I did.
Yeah.
The final.
Yeah.
I did indeed. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It was a good. Yeah. It was a good.
It was a good. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. I was sort of just happy to see England. I mean, I'm sorry to any English fans or whatever, but I was happy to see them beat.
Did you watch the third place?
I didn't. Wheels. No. It sounds like it was the final we should have been. Should have got.
Really was. New Zealand just destroyed again.
I just don't understand New Zealand. They absolutely and like they just annihilated Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
They got pretty convincingly beat by England.
England,
to be fair, put in an absolute brilliant display. But, just the flip-flop there is incredible. I don't understand.
And then they come back out and they absolutely destroy...
all over Wales. But, yeah, the final was pretty good. I was happy to see... For a number of reasons, I was happy to see South Africa win. Mm-hmm. One, because I just kind of like...
I like
not the not that they weren't favourites, but they've won it twice before. I don't know why I consider them, but like they just wouldn't have been.
I just like South Africa.
Yeah,
you know, there's just something about them I like. Do you ever see the film Invictus?
Yeah,
it's a great movie actually.
That's why there was a lot of callbacks to that because it was the captain. It was the first black captain of the Springboks, so and he won the World Cup. So it's just like another like big unifying force for the country. Oh,
a lot of stuff's going right for South Africa. Yeah, I noticed that. I think we have to get another boom. Because there's no little clip on this part. I think that keeps it steady.
We need a new boom.
We'll get some new booms.
My chair is squeaking as well. I gotta stop moving.
What else has happened?
But yeah, it was a good final. I enjoyed it because it was sort of like an attrition thing. Just you were seeing like a real. A lot of people say it was boring because it was very defensive, but I don't know. I kind of liked that.
It was fine.
And then the tries were both beautiful. Mm-hmm. Just
really good to watch.
Really well executed tries.
Can't believe it's over.
I'm not too surprised. Like I've been aware it's been going on. Yeah. Because they only ever do it on... Didn't they only do it weekends there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they did it. They did it during the week as well.
Semi-finals and final weekends, wasn't it?
It's because they were so, like... Oh, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Compared to the World Cup always seems just to fly in.
Yeah.
The football World
Cup. Football, yeah.
But this World Cup, rugby, I guess, it's just because...
Yeah,
it's not just people aren't just watching every single game. I know I wasn't.
No, I wasn't watching, really watching the home, big games,
home nations and stuff like that.
I have some news for us this week.
Yeah, brilliant.
So let's start with The Last of Us 2 delayed.
Do
you read about this? Spring.
Spring, yeah.
Until May, actually, I think it is.
So yeah, it was meant to be February, right?
February time, yeah. But sources tell us that The Last of Us 2 is postponed. They had a release date of February 21st, 2020. The news isn't official yet, and Sony didn't respond, but we do expect an announcement from them this week. That was then updated. The Last of Us 2 will be out on May 29th, 2020.
Oh, day after my birthday.
Oh, good birthday present.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. The Last of Us 2 is a sequel to the critically acclaimed 2013. That's mad.
That's insane.
PS3 game, The Last of Us. Yeah, you know what anybody who's listened to this probably knows what The Last of Us is. The sequel was announced in December 2016 and shown at E3 2018, but was not given a release date then. Like the sequel was announced December 2016. We didn't see anything until E3 2018.
Such a fucking tease.
Oh. And then on 24th of September, we were told it would be coming on the 21st of February. Now it'll be a few more months.
Really, I'm sure it's fine, right? Mm-hmm. But it's weird how close they're cutting it, because we know PS5 or whatever is coming December 20.
This is what I'm thinking. Well, do you think, are they going to postpone again and do this as the launch title for the PS5?
I don't think they could do that. How pissed would PS4 owners be?
True.
You know? Yeah. I mean, if you didn't have the funds to immediately jump up to PS5.
Maybe they'll do like...
They'll do remaster.
Yeah, it's got to come. Exactly. Yeah, it has to come. Yeah. But maybe it's just to do with...
But it does kind of suck, because maybe had they known it's going to take us a little bit longer to make this game, and they knew when the PS5 was coming, they might have just went, let's just use all that extra power and make this game that little bit crisper or whatever. But I'm sure they're going to push PS4 to the absolute
peak. It's got to be.
Just get everything they can out of
it. I'm ready for my console to die playing. But the first half of 2020 still has numerous major releases scheduled, including the PS4's Final Fantasy VII remake in early March and the highly anticipated multi-platform game Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh yeah, it's coming
in April.
I thought it was sooner than that.
No, it's April time. The Last of Us 2 was expected to be one of the last major PS4 exclusives, along with the Ghost of Tsushima, which has not yet received a release date.
Really?
That could be the launch title.
Of PS5?
Of PS5.
Maybe, actually, yeah.
Something kind of not... Remember Xbox One launch? They launched with Rise, Son of Rome.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever play?
Really? No.
No, not that I actually.
It looked really good,
It
though.
Did look really good.
Tsushima looks really good too, actually. That wouldn't be a bad launch title.
Yeah. Oh, but, yeah. It looks fantastic.
I don't think... I think they've highlighted it too much in the PS4 era.
Mm-hmm.
That if they just didn't do it for PS4, I think, as I said, I think you'd be annoyed.
Fans would just be absolutely livid.
I mean, not too many. A lot of fans would be upgrading pretty quickly anyway, I imagine. Yeah.
Let's talk then about the, staying on kind of video game theme, let's talk about the Witcher trailer.
Netflix.
What did you think of this?
I didn't actually see it.
I only seen it because we have like a shared YouTube history.
Really? And I was like searching
you
for it.
You had seen it and I was like, oh, it must be a trailer. And then I watched it. I was like, holy shit, this is class.
Yeah. I was browsing through Twitter and there was all this talk about The Witcher 3 and Henry Cavill and all. And I was like, I wonder, does that mean they've seen him? Mm-hmm. I just Googled it on YouTube real quick and I was like, there it is. Yeah. Google it on YouTube. I searched it on YouTube. Yeah. And it's so weird that Google and search is just the same word. But and I seen it and it looks tremendous. It's coming out December 20th.
December 20th.
So like that's brilliant.
I think it looks class. It looks so like, and I've only dabbled in the games.
Have you played The Witcher 3?
I mean, I've played like maybe 5 hours.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Watch it just like, it almost just looks like a Game of Thrones clone nearly. Mm-hmm. But
I don't like thinking of it as a Game of
Thrones. No. But I think that's a good way to get people in.
Yeah.
But when you're watching like, as someone who has played the games and you're seeing some of the concepts in the trailer, you're like, oh, people are going to fucking love that. Yeah. They're going to love that.
He looks incredible as Geralt.
He does, he looks very good. And he's kind of nailed the character as well. Way he talks and stuff is just sort of very...
And he's built as hell. Like, the guy is an absolute machine.
Like, why does he do that?
I don't know, but he's so good at it.
Yeah. He's Superman. He's definitely the most ripped Superman we've ever seen.
Yeah, 100%.
And now he's like, this is just Geralt of Rivia, and he's an absolute...
Geralt is ripped anyway. Yeah. And in this case,
like in the games, he's kind of like got on like a fairly like athletic physique, but he is very, very physically strong. Whereas Henry Cavill is just this fucking
just machine.
Tank. He's about this thick. Like,
he's unreal.
He's insane.
It's surprisingly beautiful. The trailer for The Witcher, Netflix's TV adaptation of the book series, is way better. Known as a video game series starring Henry Cavill, it is the story of Geralt, a magical mutant who hunts monsters in a fantasy version Renaissance-era Europe called The Continent.
The Continent.
There are witches and vampires and a mysterious young woman who might hold the key to the future itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. All in all, it looks great. It
does look great, yeah. And it's like, that kind of, even that description sounds a little bit more fantastical.
Yeah.
And the games, and I'm sure the show will be. Like, it's very... grounded, like real life. There's politics and shit. Mm-hmm. There's all this like, just a really grounded world.
I hadn't even seen the teaser trailer, so I went back and watched the teaser trailer.
It's good too.
It looks incredible. Mm-hmm. Big like spider coming at the end of it. I was like, this is awesome. I hope there is a lot of like monsters in it though.
That's what I kind of. That's what the teaser.
Yeah.
Sort of hinted at is that he's just gonna be, because that's what Witcher is, just a monster hunter.
Yeah.
They're like highly specialized people who come and deal with just like. The worst of the worst things, like big spiders and werewolves and stuff that other people just can't deal with.
What all kind of monsters do you deal with in The Witcher in like the games?
Anything and everything.
Because the only thing I've encountered is Griffin.
Griffin, werewolves, all kinds of like spirits, like witches. There's
you've put a lot of time into The Witcher 3, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'd say a good 70 or 80 hours.
Jesus Christ.
And that was just doing one playthrough. But yeah, no, everything and anything, that's Chris. Insane. All kinds of like dragons, things like that. Anything, I guess.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even scratched the surface of that game. I ended up going into a bar and playing that...
Yeah.
Then I just gave up. So maybe this will entice me back in.
Yeah, it might do, it might do. Or it might get you reading the books or something. That's something I wanted to do, was read the books.
That's the guy, Nicholas, someone in there, right?
Skarwarkarski.
Polish guy?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Another, just a completely random bit of news here. The final journey of the 5,300-year-old Iceman... The mummified man, now known as Otzi, was about 5'2", had dark, medium length hair and brown eyes and a beard. The final journey of a mountaineer has been charted more than 5,000 years after he died in the Alps. Hikers found the mummified remains of a man, now known as Otzi, back in 1991, with his corpse having melted out from the ice some 3,210 metres above sea level. Almost 30 years on from the discovery, the trek of the 5,300-year-old body has been revealed by plants that were frozen with him at the time of his death. Clothing and gear was found alongside the remains. Until now, it was thought possible that he may have ascended into other adjacent valleys. The corpse was found in the Alps. I'm just scanning through this because there's a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff about plants here. His estimated age was 45. So basically, yeah, a guy died ages ago and they've traced us back.
He's the original mountaineer,
yeah. 5,300-year-old Iceman. Yeah, there you go.
Iceman.
And a woman was found dead in a reptile home, strangled by an 8-foot python.
That's grim.
Yeah. So Laura Hurst, 36, was discovered at the property in Indiana, which contained about 140 snakes, including 20 owned by her.
Jesus Christ.
A woman found unconscious with an 8-foot python around her neck died from asphyxiation after being strangled by the snake, according to the postmortem. She was discovered on the floor of the reptile home in Oxford, Indiana, which contained about 140 snakes. Mrs. Hurst apparently kept her pets in the property and visited them twice a week. The owner of the home reportedly found her body on Wednesday night with the reticulated 2.4 metre python wrapped loosely around her neck.
Jesus,
the owner
Christ.
Called paramedics, but they were unable to revive her. That is insane. That's a horrible
That's the
way
worst
to go,
way to
like,
go.
Jesus Christ.
Python on your
strangled
neck.
Strangled by a snake. They're big snakes too. Like 2.4 metres. Like, that's a big snake. It's huge on the other side of that bed. Like,
people can't see that.
I know, true, yeah. That's a big ass.
2.4 meters, it's fucking that's a lot, like. But they can get like what, 8, 9, 10 meters? Yeah, they can get just stupidly fucking.
And as they like strangle you as well, isn't it like the more you breathe out, the more they like just contract?
Yeah, it's like you take a breath, you breathe out, yeah, and then you can't breathe back.
Can't
in.
Breathe
they
back
just
in,
tighten
so they
that
just
a little
keep
bit.
Going, Jesus
so
Christ.
Like, it's not like, yeah, it's so weird. It's like they don't like actively tighten and push it out of you. It's just sort of gradually as you breathe out more.
What if you didn't breathe out?
Well, then you'd die anyway.
Oh, yeah, but if you just went, like, held your breath and like played dead.
I don't know.
Oh, you got me.
I think they hold on you for a long, long time. Yeah. I mean, they found her how long after and
true,
it was still
actually, yeah,
you know, floating around her neck.
Snakes
are just like, they just don't need to exist, in my opinion.
No?
Yeah, I think the world would be perfectly fine if snakes didn't exist. Rats didn't exist, I think we'd all be pretty good.
Imagine snakes had feet. You know, imagine they had like
lizards,
proper, like leg. Well, yeah, but like the long kind of bodies, like a python.
Oh,
but
that'd
with, like,
just be weird.
Feet, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, like a millipede, like a thousand
millipede.
Legs.
Jesus, imagine that. Oh,
fuck that.
Trees and shit.
No.
Weird. But they're so strong, like they're just all muscle. Like the body
know,
is
yeah.
just complete muscle. Like,
they're just weird animals.
I know. Yeah. I like snakes.
No.
I like snakes.
I'm okay.
I don't think I'd be necessarily terrified of snakes either, the way some people are. But you show me a spider, like, and I'm going to run. I'm going to run for that.
Depends on what type of snake it is. Like, just don't like them.
Yeah.
I think I've touched snakes before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have I touched a snake?
I'd say you have.
I don't think so.
Was there not a snake that came into school once we were able to touch?
No.
Pretty sure there was.
Was there?
Yeah.
I might not have been in that day. I don't think I've ever touched a snake. I've touched like, a lot of animals. Like stingrays.
Sometimes I'm just out in the forest. Fucking
sharks and shit, you know. But never
stingrays, you did not learn the lesson Stevie Irwin tried to teach us, Chris.
Oh, fuck, I know. Poor Stevie Irwin.
I know. I always get sad when I think about him.
I know.
I just wish he was still here.
I know.
doing those TV shows he used to watch.
They should make like a statue of him, I think.
They probably have.
Do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see that photograph that was going about on the internet it was like
the internet.
It was a photograph of him feeding this crocodile at like his like enclosure, you know, doing like a show. 15 years on, his son Murray was feeding the exact same crocodile, same pose and everything. It was so mad. Cool. Like, yeah.
I didn't know he had a son. I knew he had a daughter.
His son and daughter, yeah, and wife, and that's it.
I used to love watching that show.
That show was great. Crocodile Hunters, Croc Files. Great show.
Croc Files.
There's a lot of weird shows on nowadays with animals, though. Like, that Steve Back show used to have a show. Remember Deadly 60? Do you ever watch it? No?
Nope.
He, like, just found, like, deadly animals and just got up close and personal with
them. Oh, yeah. Like, I know the type.
Yeah. Was Steve Irwin's death ever shown?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it was on. I don't think it was being recorded. Mm. I think he was just swimming with some stingrays because he loved animals.
I seen a cool thing. And it was like, if you were able to travel back in time for one purpose, and you could only travel back for one purpose, what would it be and why? And some guy wrote, I would travel back to Australia the day of his Irwin and cancel all chartered boat tours out on, like into the stingray kind of waters. It's like, sorry, we're closed today.
Save a life.
I know, like, yeah. Big thing, but yeah. That's all the news I have for this week.
I didn't have any news for this week. I mean, the only news I sort of had was the World Cup and stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuff we already talked about.
Have you been watching anything lately?
I watched John Wick 2 the other night.
Have you seen John Wick 1?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Have you seen 3?
No.
Okay, so you're working your way through them?
I'm working my way through them as they come to Netflix.
Good.
I have not been watching anything new, I don't think.
How's John Wick 2?
It's very good.
Okay.
It's very good.
I've heard great things about them movies.
Yeah. Jesus. It's just insane. You're just watching an absolute machine going at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's unstoppable. Oh, you know, do you remember in Rambo? Remember watching Rambo?
Mm.
Like First Blood? And then that guy, Murdoch. No, it wasn't, what do you call it? His like commander guy.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, he's the ultimate killing machine.
Yeah.
And then Rambo was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But John Wick is the ultimate killing machine.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He's like,
Is he an agent or something? Or?
Yeah, he's like, it's really, really cool. He's like a hitman, but like there's this whole underground society of like hitmen and there's all these rules and stuff. And like, in the very first films, like, actually, I might just let you watch it, but like they talk about him as if like he's like an urban legend.
Oh, he's that good?
Yeah, he's that good, yeah. Call him the Boogeyman.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a cool name, actually, the Boogeyman.
But yeah, very, very good. Nice. Very good film. But no shows or nothing. Nothing new. No.
I'm watching.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
The Boys. Did I tell you I was watching The Boys?
No.
On Amazon?
No.
That's how long it's been since we last did a podcast. But yeah, it's very good. It's about superheroes.
Right.
But they're complete dickheads, all of them.
Right. Like anti-heroes?
No, just like, just pure like villains nearly.
Okay.
It's like, because they're so like above society, that's all went to their head and they're just like, can do whatever they want to and stuff. And there's a group of guys, but The Boys, who are like trying to like
stop him?
Yeah, take him down.
Nice.
But it's very good show. It's on Amazon Prime, yeah. Okay. Very good show. Would highly recommend it. Good. You would definitely enjoy it.
Have you been to the cinema lately?
No, I haven't been to the cinema in months and months.
Obviously, you haven't seen Joker?
No.
Neither have I. It's like one of those movies that like...
I need to see it.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I'm finishing up Narcos on...
Netflix?
On Netflix. And I've watched like a couple of documentaries. I definitely watched something. Fractured, you see the movie on
Fractured, that's Ryan Gosling, no?
No.
What am I thinking of?
Fractured is, I forget the name of the dude. He's really well known as well. I can't think of him at all.
What's it about? Is it about like a court case, no?
No. Okay. It's so basically the premise of the movie is this family are making their way back from like a Thanksgiving dinner and they stop at like a little like a pit stop, like truck station, gas station or whatever. And the father had like a history with alcohol and he's obviously not drinking now, but he's a recovering alcoholic. You find that out. They have a little girl with them, and at the truck stop, the little girl gets out of the car. The mother's in the shop, I think. Yeah, the mother's in the shop. The little girl gets out of the car and she like falls down like a pit, basically, into a pit. And they take her to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors are like, well, you know, it's really busy. It's Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. But we'll take her for, we want to run an MRI scan just to be sure that she's okay. The mother and daughter go for the MRI while the father waits in the waiting room. And he like falls asleep, wakens up. And then he's like, where are they? You know, it's been like 2 or 3 hours.
Mm.
And they're like, we have no records of them ever being here. It's fucked up.
That sounds very, very intriguing.
Yeah, they're like, we have no records of ever being here. He's like, what are you talking about? And he like tries to get like the police in on it, but the police are kind of, not corrupt, but they kind of know about this hospital, and hospitals, I'll not ruin it, I'll not say anything more, but it's real fucked up. It's real dark for them, but it's a good watch, and it kind of leaves at the end of it, it's like, oh, wow. You know, it's a real fucked up.
It's a real thinker.
I watched 93 Days as well, which is the film, Danny Glover's in it, about the Ebola outbreak in Nigeria.
All right.
No. Strange film, but just a fucked up film if you want to hear or learn about Ebola.
You know? This is the place to go.
It's not what I thought it was, but I think that's all I'm watching. I think that's all I'm watching at the moment.
Very good.
A lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah, YouTube, yeah. That's a piece of news actually as well, that's come up recently, is Mr. Beast on YouTube. After getting 20 million subscribers.
Oh, is this by the trees?
Yeah.
Planting the trees?
He made an effort to try and get 20 million trees planted. Mm. So it's basically, but it's not, he's not doing it. It's like $20 million to be raised and $1 equals one tree planted somewhere in the world.
I heard this thing about, there was like a conspiracy about that.
Was there?
And it was like, what do you call that guy who died in prison?
Epstein.
Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it came out around that time, and it was like, how do you like kill someone and hide a body but do it like discreetly? And it was like, oh, basically what we do is we'll start this, like, because this guy has started this whole planting trees, there's a lot of people kind of jumping on that bandwagon. But yep. You see Elon Musk has done it as well.
Oh yeah, he's donating, like, donating money. Yeah.
So it was like, well, we'll get all these like rich and powerful people to donate money to planting these trees, but before the trees are planted, we'll bury the body like under the trees.
Yeah.
And because
it's
such like a protected site, then no one will ever go digging up, so we'll be able to hide a body in plain sight, basically.
That'd be good.
A couple of conspiracies about that whole Epstein thing as well.
Yeah, I seen a funny video today. It was like a guy talking about guide dogs and stuff like that. And at the end of it, he made like, I want to do a little PSA. It's just like, if you like these dogs or whatever, you know, don't go and buy one, and like, you know, a dog is for life, blah, blah, blah. If you want to get a dog to do these sort of things, make sure you get a professionally trained one. You have to pay the money for it, or just don't get one at all. Also, Epstein didn't kill himself. It's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. I've seen that a lot, actually. Yeah.
It's like, people just don't want to forget about this. Like, no. It's like, because,
he was taken out, like, you know?
Yeah, well, even the coroner has said something.
That it was strangled.
Yeah, more like strangulation, but I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, no one believed it when it happened.
No.
Not a lot of people believed it. And all the people who were like crying it out, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. They're like, well, no, now you've got a little bit of evidence that says it's not a conspiracy. So
it's going to be blown wide open by us.
I wish.
In the podcast. The
problem is the people with money are probably the ones who are going to be getting their story out. Yeah. That's always the way it goes, isn't it? So you get the Hong Kong thing as well. It's like
the whole the riots and all the protesting. Do you see fucking, there's a load of countries protesting at the minute though, isn't there? Isn't like Turkey,
Chile as well.
Turkey, or maybe it's Chile actually. Yeah,
yeah. But that's it. This is like what happens is like, one big movement gets a bit of steam, other countries just sort of realize that this can work.
Jesus, it's crazy. They're still protesting in Hong Kong.
They are, but the media coverage has nearly stopped now.
Why?
Because
are they not allowed to?
No, Hong Kong, like, they unequivocally said, we're not going to introduce that extradition bill that started the whole thing. And then that was kind of like, for some reason, that's good enough, even though like what they're protesting about ranges way beyond
far
that.
Far and wide beyond,
you know?
Yeah.
It's much more specific than that. Okay. Not specific than that, broader than that. It's about like freedoms in general and, you know, what the people of Hong Kong can be expecting from the Chinese government. That's what they're complaining about, but the media has been satisfied that although they pulled the bill and now we haven't heard about it. But you always see like a post on Twitter or Reddit or something. It's like, by the way, Hong Kong's still protesting. Here's like a picture of 20,000 people out in the street.
Yeah.
So it's still happening.
It's crazy. Like.
But it just shows you, you know, if the media aren't covering it, like you don't hear about it.
You just don't hear about it. Yeah.
You have to literally look out for it.
Yeah, the media will blow anything up, like, you know, media are a strong group. Okay, before we get stuck into main topic this week, remember you can find the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. And you can take the audio version with you anywhere you go. Just search for us on any podcast hosting service, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any podcast hosting service, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you to everybody who tunes in on a weekly basis and everybody who's been in touch with us. And I think that's it.
If you want an easy way to contact us, you can email emptypromisepodcast@gmail.com.
There we go. Yeah.
With Twitter at emptypromisepod. Facebook, Excite Gaming.
Has it not changed?
Yeah, it didn't change. Instagram, Empty Promise Podcast.
Empty Promise Podcast, yeah. So, and we will, we like to hear from you so that we can read out some of your suggestions and comments and things like that. So that'd be good fun. Yeah, okay. This week we are finishing off the third week of our Spooktober.
November Fest.
Even though it's November. It's Spoopy Podcasts. So we've already done, what was our first?
We started with the Dyatlov Pass.
Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That seems like ages ago.
No.
Then we went to Skinwalker Ranch, which is still fucked me up big time.
Yeah.
Very strange. And now we are going to finish off with the true story behind the Amityville House horror hauntings.
Yeah. So moving over to... We're still in the US of A, the most haunted fucking nation in the world.
100%. It's just because it's such a big area. Like, so many places can be haunted, you know? I think Scotland's quite haunted as well.
Is it?
I don't know. I just... They have a lot of castles.
I would have thought Ireland was quite haunted. Like, yeah. I would have got that impression, but I looked it up recently. And I was like, there's not a whole pile of like unique stories. It's all the general things like, you know, banshees and all that shit.
Banshees freak me out, though. Banshees are we the only country that have banshees, One of them.
The concept of banshee comes from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, banshee, so you know, it's definitely a worldwide thing. Like, people report them worldwide, but the concept came from here. Banshee, it's actually really good. Banshee literally just means... It's like woman of the sheed, which is like the, it's like in ancient Irish culture, like the sheed were like, you know, like fairy mounds. It's like them, the people from like the other world, the underworld. So it's like a woman from the woman of the sheed, which is a woman.
That's what banshee means?
Yeah. So it's just a woman who sort of.
And they're said to like to cry, to shriek.
Yeah, they shriek. But it's kind of like a, it's kind of like a misinterpretation, because I actually learned about this whenever I was studying history. Like, in the old days, it was, like, not necessarily, like, a really scary thing. So, like, the banshee was just notifying you of a death.
Okay.
And, like, you know, that sounds scary as fuck. Like, your banshee comes and screams and tells you you're going to die.
Yeah.
That's what you think. But, like, back then it was kind of like, say you had, like, an elderly relative, someone who's suffering or in pain, and then you see someone heard, I seen the banshee last night. That means they're going to be at peace soon or something like that. You know, it's not, necessarily
a bad thing.
An unexpected sudden death. Yeah. Okay. That's where it kind of originated from. And obviously it was like...
Isn't there something that only certain like family names hear them?
Is that right?
I heard it's like you have to be like a Mick or an O or something like that.
It's probably like you have to be an Irish blood or something like that.
True Irish blood.
But yeah, like back in those days, it was just like you see a woman, either an old hag or like a young, beautiful woman. That's like what a banshee was.
Wow.
And it's like, and they would call out that someone's gonna die. But now today it's like any kind of thing where that it's like a weird like sighting or a scream heard in your house, that's banshee, and it's all kind of like that's thrown together.
I like this lore. Yeah, you know, I like that lore. That's cool. That's
banshee's really just a weird concept.
It is a weird concept,
it's
yeah.
Like, just the fact that it's in the back of your head they're notifying you of death and you're just like, does that mean I'm not gonna die?
I know.
It's weird as fuck. But yeah.
Banshee witches as well.
Which is, I was listening to an episode of The Strange Uncles. They just recently did an episode called Season of the Witch.
Oh, is it good?
It's good, yeah.
I've been looking to get back into them.
It's more like, more historical analysis than anything, but it's like, witches.
Witches crazy. Freak me out. It's like the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. That film is terrifying.
Right? I've never seen it.
Are you serious?
Never seen the movie. What can I say?
You should definitely
There's
watch
a game now called Blair Witch. There's a Blair Witch game.
No, there's not, is there?
There is, yeah. It's out now.
I know, get yours
go play it.
Use Empty Promise Podcast promo code.
Affiliate link in the description.
Oh, it's terrifying. Voodoo, all that kind of shit. That's fucked.
There's so much shit like we could actually go into if we wanted to keep the spookiness.
I love
alive.
Spooky though, like, you know. Demonic kind of stuff. That's cool and I like that kind of stuff, but more like, you know, like the witches, the ancient Indian fucking, you know, curses, stuff like that. That's what really like.
Yeah. There's something about like those ancient cultures that like for some reason we kind of interpret them as having like a better insight to that like side of things, like, you know, you hear like ancient Indian, you're like they knew they had
another,
they could talk with spirits
there.
And stuff like that, and you think about ancient Irish culture, they knew what was going on, they were in tune with these things actually. And there you go, Halloween just passed. Like Halloween was like another really old Irish thing where it was like that's the time of year whenever like our world and their world is kind of, there's no clear line where it starts and ends.
That's what it's supposed to be.
And they can cross over and it's like that's the night you have to, and that's why apparently like dressing up and stuff came from way back then. It's like you dress up and wow. So you can't be seen. And
I ran into a customer at work one day, and I tried to make small talk with her about, I was standing like at a till and she was coming through, and she had like some Halloween decorations. And I said, oh, you're not getting a pumpkin? You know, we're going to do some pumpkin carving. I just went, absolutely not. I don't believe in that. Do you know what that means? She was like, that is decapitation. And we don't do decapitation in my house.
Jesus Christ. Like, that's a bit like, much.
It's like, okay, whoa. Okay, let's take this back.
Have you ever seen, because like, again, that's like the whole pumpkin. I was so astounded about this. Like, that seems like an American thing, doesn't it? Mm. Carving a pumpkin.
Jack-o'-lanterns. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Irish, completely Irish.
Is it?
Yeah. No back way. In the 1800s, you know what we used to carve?
Turnips.
Turnips.
You serious?
I'm 100% sure. There's a picture that I've seen a couple of times on Reddit, and it's like this fucking, like, it is meant to be creepy. It's not meant to be fun.
Yeah.
Because this man's face carved into a turnip, and it's like, it's so fucking weird.
It's
because
they like wither and all. Like, yeah. Like, oh,
exactly. That's weird. It's just like the skin, you pumpkins know? You have outside, they're withered a bit. You're like, yeah, that's Halloween right there.
I think carving pumpkins is great.
Yeah. Or yeah. Some people are so talented.
Some people are fantastic.
Some people do some really good jobs.
But apparently it means decapitation.
That's a I get that. It is just a head.
Apparently they used to put heads to like warn away things. That'd be right.
There's if you read any of like you know like Celtic mythology, you know, you have like Neil Gaiman over there with Norse mythology. Celtic mythology, very big thing is chopping off heads and putting them on sticks.
Really? To like warn away like spirits and shit?
Yeah. Not even just to warn away people.
I would like to what is your knowledge on like Irish like mythology and lore and stuff like that?
It would be okay actually.
I would love for you to tell me a couple of stories because I know very little. I think that'd be a good
podcast. Oh, well, that should be good, yeah. Talk about Cú Chulainn and Limbo.
I genuinely know nothing about them, guys.
Yeah. He liked to chop off heads, you know.
Perfect. That's like a great story for me.
But anyway, sorry, got a little off topic. Talking about Halloween and the lake.
Though, you know, so good. But I think, we'll jump into
Amityville, and so, it kind of ties in because there's some, you know, give you a little taste of what this is about. You know, there's some demonic stuff involved here, possession and stuff like that.
What way do you want to do this then?
I guess we could just like talk about what it is. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the film and stuff.
Yeah.
You might have even read the book.
Do you remember the main actor from the film?
Yeah.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah, it's Ryan.
Before the podcast, he was trying to establish the main actor, the lead, like Deadpool, that actor.
Yeah.
And he knows his name is Ryan, but he can't like
I was like Ryan Gosling, Ryan Seacrest.
And I was just wondering, we said it was going to come to him during podcast. It clearly hasn't. I'm not going to tell you either.
Is
so.
It Ryan?
Just Ryan.
Ryan Deadpool?
Ryan Deadpool, that's exactly it.
It's so frustrating, I can't think of that. I know him really well.
I know. Yes, a lot of people have seen the movie, which was actually a remake of the original.
Yep.
But it came from somewhere, and we're going to touch on that today. But is it 112 Ocean Drive?
112.
Oh,
Ocean Avenue.
Ocean Avenue, sorry.
Amityville, Long Island, New York.
Creepy place.
Yeah. North, like that, like Northeast America is where it all, like Salem, the witches, that's all where that shit happened.
All
that. Yeah.
That's all like colonial though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's
very really old. Yeah. Don't get that. Just a weird part of the world, I think.
I just got chills just thinking about that kind of stuff. So do you want to talk a bit about the Amityville, about what it is, the house and stuff like that? And then,
okay.
Because I have like some like facts and stuff about it, about creepy shit.
I guess I just sort of have an overview and a discussion about the events. It's, and I'm hoping you'll jump in with some more interesting bits about it.
100%.
Mine's kind of a factual and analytical. But yeah, so we're in Long Island, New York.
Yeah.
In a little sleepy town called Amityville.
Amityville.
Which sounds spooky right now.
It sounds spooky because we know of the house, isn't it? Like,
Amityville was just like this little village, little town, just a little bigger. But it's kind of like a fancy part of the world. You know, like kind of like that New England kind of, you know, well-to-do kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
The house itself is it's a big house.
It's a big old colonial house. If you haven't seen it, you look up the Amityville house.
It's a classic image. It's got windows that look like eyes.
We call those windows. There's like a name on them, isn't there?
Dutch or something like
that. Yeah.
I forget the name of them exactly, but
big like circular windows. Yeah, as you said, it looks exactly like eyes. Yeah,
And it's just a creepy house. Is that because we know what happened there, or is it because
possibly
it's just a creepy looking house? Yeah. I'm not sure, but basically, there's two main things that happened at Amityville.
Yeah,
right. And up until 1974, nothing can happen in Amityville.
Nope.
There's talk about a man, an elderly man, who died of sickness in the house. It was kind of like the initial thing that happened with this place. But
I should know that.
Yeah, no, you don't hear much about it. I don't think it was, I don't even know if it's 100% true, but it's just like a thing that's thrown around. But nothing of note about this house. You know, it's kind of a well-to-do place. Rich sort of families live in this area. Okay. That's the type of house it is. Mm-hmm. All that changes in 1974. Mm. Funny enough, November 1974. Oh, so we're in the month of it, you know.
Yeah.
Sorry. In 1974, the occupants of this house were the DeFeo family, right?
The DeFeos, yeah, that's right.
And there was like seven of them, mm-hmm. who lived in this house. And completely fine, normal, average, standard day family. Lived there for years.
Yeah.
On November 13th, 1974, a mass murder occurred in the home, killed all but one.
Yeah.
Of the family. So six of them died.
Yeah.
The only remaining survivor was Ronald Joseph DeFeo Jr.
Jr. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is his account of things.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he claims that on Wednesday, November 13th, 1974, the 23-year-old Ronald Joseph DeFeo Jr.,
mm-hmm.
who also known as Butch.
Butch, yeah.
Because I just don't even, where does that come from?
I know, yeah.
He says he woke up at 6 a.m., as he always does. He went to work at his grandfather's car dealership. We left early at 12 o'clock to see his girlfriend hang out with his friends. Work was slow and he was bored. He told his friends that he didn't seem to be able to get in touch with his family. He claimed his calls to the house went unanswered and it didn't seem to bother him all that much. 6 p.m., he went back home.
Okay.
6:30 p.m., he entered Henry's Bar, which is a bar just down the street from him. It's about 2 minutes away.
Okay.
And he says something about needing help. He says his mother and father had been shot. Several of the patrons followed him home, where they found a crime scene awaiting them. A local man named Joseph Yeswit called the county police, saying that he wasn't totally sure what happened, that some guy came running to the bar and said his mother and father were shot. He told the dispatcher, "We ran down to this house, and everybody in the house is shot. I don't know how long," but he said there's four bodies. The police arrived, they discovered there were six bodies, not four. Every single member of the DeFeo family had been shot to death except Butch himself. All of them, Ronald Sr., who was 43, mm-hmm. Louise, 42, his wife, mm-hmm. their children, Dawn, 18, Allison, 13, Mark, 12, and John Matthew, who was 9. So, fucking kids.
Jesus Christ.
So Butch was the eldest.
Yeah.
They had all been killed with a 35 caliber rifle. Jeez. Now, DeFeo told police that he had arrived home to find his family this way. He says someone had broken in and killed the entire family. And he suspected mafia hitman Louis Fellini.
Why did he suspect this?
He says apparently his family had some bad blood.
Right, okay.
That was his claim.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But the police were a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some weird things about this scene, right? First of all the bodies were found lying face down on their beds.
Yeah.
So it suggested that they may have been positioned that way by their killer. So whoever killed them put them in bed face down, which is just weird. Why would a hitman do that? Another reason, they were all wearing their pajamas, which was weird considering Butch said that they must have been killed during the day when he was out. Strangest of all, however, was the fact that there were no indications of a struggle having occurred. But as toxicology reports later confirmed, neither had the family been tranquilized or sedated. So they didn't struggle, they didn't react, they were all just shot. Yeah. Which doesn't make sense if a hitman came into the house and started shooting.
No. Right enough, yeah.
Exactly.
With nobody here, like, you know, a bit of a panic, a struggle.
So they were all shot lying face down in their bed. Given that the rifle apparently hadn't been used with a silencer, they would have heard the gunshots, so why didn't they fight back?
Right enough. I never thought about that until now.
Another thing about the rifle is that it's bolt action. So it's not like bang, 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 bang. It takes time to actually. So it could have been a quick.
Like, if mother and father are lying beside and one gunshot goes off.
Exactly.
You're going to hear.
They're all found lying face down in bed, which is just very, very strange.
Wow.
The facts didn't add up.
Ah.
Oh, sorry, as well. No neighbours heard gunshots.
No neighbours heard
gunshots. There was no report from the neighbours of gunshots.
And this is quite a... They're living in like a cul-de-sac, kind of thing. They are surrounded...
Not necessarily a cul-de-sac, but yeah, there's houses around.
There's houses
around. Yeah, they're not far away. All the neighbours claim they heard was the dog barking.
Was the dog shot?
The dog was not shot, no.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's okay. We're still warm. So they didn't hear gunshots, they only heard a dog barking. So the facts didn't add up, and the investigation continued. Butch's story started to unravel. It became clear that the DeFeos were killed in the early morning, around 3 a.m, before Butch would have left for work. And then he changed his story. And then he said that he had been home when the attack occurred, and that Fellini, the mafia hitman, and a second man had arrived early that day when the family was still asleep, threatened Butch at gunpoint, and made him watch them kill his parents and siblings.
What?
After which point he just went to work and hung out with his friends.
Went to the bar. Jesus.
The police also found an empty box of .35 caliber bullets in his room.
In Butch's room?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, starting to get to the bottom of this little mystery.
Yeah.
The pieces came together. The timeline became clear. The perpetrator was obvious. DeFeo ultimately confessed, saying, "Once I started, I just couldn't stop."
Jesus Christ. So he did it.
He killed his family.
Wow.
Normal kid. Nothing been reported about him being unusual or sort of...
No underlying issues before him.
Capable of this sort of thing where he just killed his entire family. His trial began October 14th, 1975, which is like a full year later. And he was represented by attorney William Weber, right? That'll come back up later.
Okay.
So they claimed for insanity, saying... He had a dissociative disorder, which is why him committing the murders, he wasn't really in control of what he was doing. It was like he was experiencing it from outside of his own body. So it was like someone else was, he was watching it all happen from himself, but he wasn't the one doing the thing. That's what the defense claimed. The opposition didn't buy that for a second. They had another psychiatrist interview him. And... who claimed that he had antisocial personality disorder. So it's not that he was not aware of what he was doing, but rather that he didn't have the sort of care, didn't care about what he was doing. Claiming he knew exactly what he was doing. The jury found him guilty of 6 counts of second-degree murder, for which the judge sentenced him to 6 consecutive life sentences.
Jesus.
Since this point, his story has changed several times more. Allegedly, that his oldest sister Dawn killed his father initially before his mother and then everyone else, or that Dawn killed the entire family before Butch himself killed Dawn.
Jesus.
An author, Rick Asuna, claimed in a book in 2000 that Butch had told him in a lengthy interview that he had committed the murders with the help of Dawn and several of his friends. However, DeFeo later denied having granted the interview. So DeVeo's story is literally just, it's completely fucking plastic. Yeah. It's changing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
What is unusual is that the bodies were all found lying face down and no one seemed to react. So the idea that there was multiple people involved kind of holds a bit of water.
Yeah.
But there's no proof of that whatsoever. All we know for a fact is that he was there and that he more or less killed his family. He's admitted to that, but his story constantly changes. So those were the unfortunate events of the DeFeo family in this little house, 112 Ocean Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That was only the start of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So shortly after the murders, 112 Ocean Avenue went up for sale. It had a hard time finding a taker, naturally.
Naturally, yeah.
So people weren't too keen to buy the house with six people had been murdered.
Yeah.
Despite its generous description, exclusive Amityville area, 6-bedroom Dutch colonial. So that was the brand of the house, make of the house. 3.5 bathrooms, finished basement, 2-car garage, heated swimming pool, large boathouse. Like, that's, you know, this is the type of like upper class kind of house that this was. Despite all of this, all these amenities and stuff, the asking price for the house was $80,000. So at that time, $80,000 was worth about, in today's money, $356,600.
Wow, okay.
So $350,000 for a house that has a boathouse, a heated pool.
Yeah.
Like in Sterling, you're talking like maybe $290,000.
That's crazy.
Which is when you pay for a house.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah.
Like just insane. So an absolute Steel.
Yeah.
This was an offer too good to pass up for one family, the Lutzes.
The Lutzes.
Despite the fact it outweighed their original budget of somewhere around $30,000 to $50,000, they managed to bring up the money to purchase the house. They also managed, and I don't know why they did this, to be honest with you, they also secured a variety of the furniture left by the previous occupants for $400. So they decided to keep a lot of the same personal items, which is just weird. That's strange.
Surely you just want to, if something like that happens in that house,
clean slate.
Yeah, exactly. Clean slate. Got it and go again.
I mean, if you listen to the fucking, if anyone here has listened to the Strange Uncles podcast, you probably haven't, but remember that one episode where the guy was renovating his house?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's like, the whole house had been, like, completely renovated apart from one room, the bathroom, and that's where all that's the where shit all the
activity
happening.
Was taking place.
It's like, you want a clean slate in these type of situations.
Yeah. Don't want no possessed tables and chairs.
No, exactly. So, George and Kathy Lutz, newly married as of July 1975, move into the house on December 18th, 1975, with Kathy's three children from a previous marriage, Daniel, Christopher, and Melissa, along with the family dog, Harry.
Nice.
So, they were aware of what happened in their new home barely a year prior, and the real estate broker had informed them of the whole day whenever they were buying the house, but they were fine, they were willing to roll with it. It was a beautiful house after all, and they got it for a very reasonable price.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't last. The Lutz family moved out after just 28 days.
That's mad. So what the hell went on?
Exactly.
You know, for 27 days, they decided not even a month into the steal of a house, we have to get out of here.
They just left.
Something's not right.
The experiences they claim to have had while living in the house will become 112 Ocean Avenue's enduring legacy.
Jesus.
So this is the Amityville horror. This is the element of it.
Yeah.
They claimed there were cold spots around the house, one on the stairway, one in the basement, one out in the boathouse. George Lutz, the father, well, the stepfather of the children and sort of whatever, man of the house, would later say in an interview that there was a deadness of sound. So if you were to walk from the living room to the front porch, you'd see cars go past, but you wouldn't hear them.
Ooh.
Doors would slam shut of their own accord, or at least you'd hear them, but you went to investigate, nothing would be out of place. George began waking regularly at 3:15 a.m.
That's weird.
3:15 every morning.
That's weird.
Which is around that, like,
this is said around the time that, isn't this around the time apparently that these
3 a.m. was the time that the murders were committed.
Oh, some weird shit. I mean, holy shit.
For no reason that he could explain, he was waking up at this time. His wife Kathy began periodically feeling someone embracing her.
Like hugging her?
Yeah, like physically touching her when there were no other people present. They often smelt the scent of a perfume that Kathy didn't use. The sound of a badly tuned radio would play from somewhere in the house only to cease when the noise was investigated. Jesus. But that wasn't everything. The Lutzes claimed it got worse. It got worse, much worse.
God. That's pretty bad already.
Yeah, that's some, spots, creepy shit.
Deadness and noise. Yeah. Deadness and noise, you can maybe pass out. Like, that's just a strange phenomenon.
Yeah,
cold spots is a weird one. Someone embracing you.
Hearing sounds, doors slamming. That's big. Radio's playing. I'm fucking out of there.
Yeah.
I can't. You can't relax. You can't live in a house like that.
No, you're constantly on edge. No.
Whether it's whether it's real or not. Like,
yeah.
It's not good for your health to be sitting there. No. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
But that wasn't all. Yes. Sorry. This is the weirdest shit. The walls would ooze with a green, slimy substance.
What is that?
Like, that makes no sense. Ectoplasm, I guess.
That's so, like...
This is the shit, though, that makes me kind of skeptical. Because I'm like, surely they could have got some of that.
Like, yeah.
Tuck it.
Yeah.
Here's the green sludge. Yeah. This is proof. They claimed a green-eyed, pig-like creature stalked them, appearing frequently at the windows.
Fuck.
A pig-like creature. Whatever the fuck. What do you want to believe about that? This is the weirdest shit, I think, Chris. Then they found a room. A hidden room. One that was not in the building's blueprints. Jeez. Kathy found it behind a bookcase in the basement, and it was painted red. They had no idea what it was for or why it was absent from the house's plans and paperwork. It smelled odd and the dog wouldn't go near it. Just a book behind this bookcase.
There's just a room.
What the fuck? Like,
I know, No.
At the urging of a friend, they had the house blessed by a Catholic priest before they moved in. But after a particularly bad night, which resulted in Christopher, one of the children, and Daniel coming down in the morning absolutely frightened, they called the priest back. So before they moved in, the house was blessed. Mm-hmm. But they eventually brought the priest back. And I don't know, do you have any information about the priest coming back in? Or if it was one of your things?
Double check for you.
But according to their account, the priest suggested they leave the house temporarily just for the night so they could all get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard other accounts about when the priest came there that he heard voices telling him to get out, making him feel very, very uncomfortable with the whole situation. But that's not in this account of things, so I'm not sure if that's maybe a thing that's been picked up over the years or if it's something that was actually in their account.
Yeah, allegedly heard a voice scream, get out.
Get out. So
he told the Lutzes never to sleep in that particular room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, there was a room up on the like one of the top floors that he asked, were they going to stay there? And I think George Lutz was like, no, we're going to use it as like an office or a sewing room or something. He said, that's okay, as long as no one sleeps in that room.
That's like, why? Just,
yeah. How did he get that notion?
And exactly. Like, yeah.
That was actually before. That was before they moved in. So that was the initial blessing. The priest returning, this is the point where he says, let's leave for the night, get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
So the Lutzes packed a few bags and headed to Kathy's mother's house. What they didn't realize then, at this point, is that they'd never return. They'd never go back to the house.
No way.
When we left, we didn't know we weren't coming back, said George Lutz.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know that what we were leaving behind, we would never see again. Whatever had been terrorizing them at 1112 Ocean Avenue followed them briefly to Kathy's mother's.
That's like, no.
Yeah.
That's some fucking, I hear that.
So.
That these like possessions can like just follow.
There's no getting away from it.
No.
This is what's weird. So that one night they went to spend away from the house, they had no reprieve essentially. When at Kathy's mother's house, they allegedly experienced levitation.
Yeah.
Levitation. Like they were floating.
Like floating.
And that's something that we hear. There's a couple of like accounts about that. Like sort of poltergeist and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you ever see the...
The Exorcist?
Is it The Exorcist?
Mm-hmm.
No, like the Enfield poltergeist or something.
Oh, yeah.
The one from The Conjuring too.
Yeah.
Like there was meant to be a picture of her being thrown or flung. So weird shit like that. Apparently they were experienced levitation. The children had terrible nightmares. So they just decided to all up leave New York completely. Left the state. Left the fucking coast. Moved to San Diego in California.
Exact opposite side of America. Jesus. Well, at least they had the sense to do that.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? At least they didn't hang about. Their belongings remained in the house. So they just left everything behind.
Jesus.
It was the middle of January 1976, just a month after they had moved into what was supposed to be their dream house.
Yeah, that's fucked. That's absolutely fucked.
So that was it. They had 28 days of horror. And that was what would eventually become the Amityville horror. Yeah. So
I have some facts. Just some of it is to do with like the DeFeo case. So I'll go through those here quickly first. The DeFeos were all found in the same position. So, husband and wife, Ronald DeFeo Sr. and Louise DeFeo, this is the family that were killed before the Lutzes moved in, had both been shot twice with a .35 caliber rifle. The four children, meanwhile, Dawn, Allison, Mark and John Matthew, were each shot once. All six victims were found by the police in their beds lying on their stomachs. It's estimated that the whole thing took a mere 15 minutes from start to finish. Which, if it started at 3 o'clock to 3:15, and that's when Mr. Lutz was awakening. The identical positioning of the bodies is creepy enough. It suggests that all the victims were arranged this way, but there are more facts that make it even creepier. The police determined that the rifle hadn't been fitted with the silencer, so the gunshots should have hypothetically woken the DeFeos up. However, there was no sign of a struggle, nor was there any evidence of sedatives. No gunshot noises heard by neighbours. There might have been a second killer who was never caught that you briefly touched on, which makes a bit of sense now that I think
about it. It's just how, you know, in 15 minutes, how did they not
react? At the time, the police and investigators considered the fact that more than one person may have been responsible for the murders. It was the only way they could make sense of the more puzzling aspects of the crime scene. The existence of a second culprit has never been proven, although a documentary filmmaker claimed in 2012 that he had found new evidence supporting the theory. In the meantime, many others still theorize about the possibility that a second shooter does exist. Ronald DeFeo Jr.'s story has changed repeatedly in the decades since the murder. Since the murders, he reported the murders himself, initially telling police that he arrived home on the evening of November 13th. He discovered that someone had broken into the house and killed every member of his family. When asked, he told the detectives that he thought the murders may have been carried out, obviously, by the mafia hitman. He had been forced to watch and then confessing, once I started, I couldn't stop. Ronald DeFeo Jr. is not a serial killer. He's a mass murderer. The FBI definition of a serial murderer is the unlawful killing of two or more victims by the same offenders in separate events. Mm-hmm. But the DeFeo murders occurred during the same event, not separate ones. The furniture was still in the house while the Lutzes moved in. You've touched on that one. They lived in the house for less than a month. This is the Lutzes. The famous demonic boy photograph is from the Amityville investigation. Yes. Here, by this one.
So this is the, what do you call them?
Warrens.
The Warrens. The Warrens.
Yeah. Ed and Lorraine Warren. So if you Google the demonic boy photograph, I might actually try to get it and put it up just on the screen now. Okay, if you're watching the video version, I'll
it's
put it up.
It's a weird one.
It's iconic even if you don't know where it's from, and regardless of whether you believe in ghosts or demons, if you're at all curious, yeah.
It's a spooky fucking picture.
It was taken during an investigation by paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren. So the Warrens, really, really well-known ghost investigators, paranormal investigators.
Demonologists.
Have you ever seen the Conjuring movies that's based
on their experiences? Around their work? They were also with that Enfield poltergeist in England.
Oh, Enfield would have been a great case to do, actually. Yeah. Several weeks after the Lutzes left the house, this is when they carried out their investigation. It seems to show a small boy with glowing eyes in the doorway to the left of the frame, even though there were no children in the house at the time.
People suspect, claim that it was the apparition of John Matthew DeFeo, youngest of the DeFeos,
who was 9 years old at the time of his death.
Just the creepiest fucking photograph, I have to say.
One of the outstanding things was that the whole haunted house story may have been fabricated by the DeFeos. Or by the Lutzes, sorry. Ronald DeFeo Jr.'s lawyer, William Weber, has said that he met the Lutzes, who were interested in, quote, developing the demonism aspects of the case, reported in the New York Times in 1992. Indeed, Weber had written in People magazine that the Lutzes, quote, created this horror story over many bottles of wine. He had also gone on a television program called Current Affair and claimed that he and the Lutzes, quote, took real life incidents and transposed them to create a spooky tale to make a splash. For example, turning a cat that lived in the neighborhood who had a habit of hanging out in the windows of the Lutz's house into the face of the green-eyed pig that was menacing them
exactly
from time to time. And 1112 Ocean Avenue isn't 1112 Ocean Avenue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's now 108 Ocean Avenue. The last time the house went up for sale, which was summer of 2016, Jerry O'Neill, owner of realty firm Caldwell Banker Harbor Light, told the Washington Post that it had been owned by four different families in the decade since the murder, of which one of which asked that the address be changed. To make it feel a little less spooky. The house has sold for $605,000 in February of 2017. None of the other owners have reported experiencing anything paranormal while in residence.
Yeah. So that was like not the weirdest thing, that's like the biggest takeaway is like after the Lutzes, just it all ceased, it all stopped.
Yeah.
Which I guess it gives a lot of credence to the idea that maybe they did make it all up. This meeting they had with the lawyer, Weber, so he was the guy who defended Butch DeFeo. And he claims that they had a meeting. They actually agree that they met with him, but they dispute what they talked about. So he claims that they sat and drank bottles of wine and talked about, let's make this story up, let's make money off of it, and we'll sell a book and all this here shit. The greed of people is something I can believe very easily. So, I mean, I don't doubt that this is a possibility of what might have happened. I do question the idea that you'd be willing to risk the money involved in buying a house
on
this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was above their budget. They to buy this house initially.
Yeah, they pushed for the rest of the money to buy it in the first
place. So they're not going to make something like $30,000 at that time, whatever that was worth in today's money, off of this story. I mean, and the story sold. The story sold so well. They wrote a book. A movie was made a couple of years later, and like it really took off.
Yep.
The Lutzes didn't benefit all that much from it.
No.
Monetarily wise. They got a little bit of fame, though.
Yeah. You know,
they got on TV. They got on interviews and stuff. So, I mean, like the idea that they did this for the money or for the fame, I mean, I think that's valid. Although a couple of things are always raised against that. I mean, the Warrens in particular, they were, whenever they were conducting their interviews, they were skeptical about the idea that it was all made up. Like, they certainly 100% believed it.
Yeah.
They were there and they were investigating.
I mean, the fact that they even chose to investigate it in the first place, like, they don't seem like people who would waste their time.
They're busy people.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you might doubt the Warrens themselves. You may think they're just fucking crackpots as well, but whatever.
The fact that they put so much money into this home and then fled it, do you know what I mean? It just never went back.
No. An interesting thing happened recently, many years later. Both of the George Lutz and Helen, is it? What's the wife's name?
George, Kathy.
And Kathy, they both died.
Yeah.
Not long after, I don't think.
No, well, 2004 and 2006.
2006, okay, fair enough. But subsequently, the youngest of the children, Daniel, have you heard about this?
No.
Did a bunch of interviews for some show ages ago, and he basically confirms, quote unquote, all of it. He was like, oh, it all completely happened. But he blames specifically George Lutz. So he didn't like his stepdad much. He claims he was like abusive and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he says that he dealt with the occult.
Wow.
He was interested.
I had heard that before with this guy, that he was very into his
The reason he wanted this house was because the murders had been committed. He was interested.
Yeah.
He wanted to reach out, all this type of shit. And this guy, Daniel, now I don't know how much you can trust him either, because I mean, maybe he's just trying to get some of that money.
True, but I mean, he was a kid at the time.
He stands by, he says it all happened, but he blames resolutely that George Lutz started it by doing something. I don't know what he was doing. And that's the reason it followed them to the house, Kathy's mother's, and the reason they got away from it was by moving across the country. And that's why all activity stopped after they left. That's the claim as well. He just
took it with them, basically.
Took it with them, once they got out of New York, they were good. But that was one of the things.
Yeah. Apparently the priest as well got static on the phone when he tried to call and warn the Lutzes. Noise interference prevented any phone communication when he was trying to ring the family to warn them of the house. So
fucking hell.
Yeah, that's a strange one as well. And he also heard the voice shout "get out" to him when he blessed the house.
Yeah, that's weird. No?
That is weird. let me see what else I have here.
I have a bit on the sort of the skeptical nature of people believing this story. Like, a lot of people raise good points about how the Lutzes met with the lawyer, so they knew, you know, they had an idea of what to base these things on, like the 315 thing they could have got from the lawyer, stuff like that. And obviously the fact that they were actively like reaching out to sort of journalists and stuff. You know, they got a book made about it, they got a movie made about it.
Uh-huh.
So I guess fair to sort of scrutinize them and think, you know, maybe they were just doing this for the money or whatever.
The Red Room did exist, and Daniel Lutz did get his hand smashed. Did you hear about this one as well, by the window? So the window smashed his hand, skin on skin, emphasizing the initial severity of the injury. In his documentary, My Amityville Horror, he holds his hand up in front of the camera to demonstrate that his little finger is still bent from the injury. But he says that after it happened, moments later, his hand had somewhat healed. In the film, though, it shows him taking... in the original film, it shows him taking the hospital.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To check out the hand. But yeah,
this is another thing that kind of... the accounts vary a lot. Because like the Lutzes... There's a book written about this, right? And that was one interpretation of events. Now, the book was based on audio recordings that the Lutzes did. So they never... The writer of the book never actually physically sat down and talked with them. So it was all based on audio recordings. And then there was a movie made about the book, which again is going to take some liberties in how it represents. So like, the story has been warped over time. So you can't be 100% sure about what is what allegedly happened according to their accounts and what has been introduced over the years, you know.
Strange story, like.
Oh, it's the craziest stuff.
I'd love to see the house, though.
This is it. Apparently, the windows have been removed.
Removed.
Yeah. So they've kind of, I mean, people, in contrast to Skinwalker Ranch,
yeah,
which, if you want to learn more about that, listen to the previous episode,
yeah,
is like a place that is still treated as kind of emblematic. You go there and you can see weird shit and the ranch is still there and mm-hmm. whoever bought it out have just sealed it up and they want to keep it sort of the state off. Of secret, yeah. secretness. After Amityville accounts, mm-hmm. they just wanted to keep this. They wanted, this house was worth money mm-hmm. and they wanted it to be sold as a house and people lived in it. And they reported nothing and they changed it. They changed the address number. They changed the look of the house just to get rid of that stigma of Amityville. Yeah. And they want that just to be a house that makes money.
Would you trust it? Would you, like, would you go and, if you had the money,
go and buy that house? No, not a million years. But
yeah, neither would I.
Whether or not it's haunted isn't even that much of a consideration. Like, knowing that six people were killed in the house, that is just a very difficult thing mentally just to sort of, you know, square with yourself.
I think it's those killings as well that seem, they just, it doesn't add up either.
I mean, you talk about possession. I mean, this kid was 23
mm-hmm.
and did he snap and kill his family? Was it a dissociative state where he just.
But why did no one hear? Things? Do you know
what I mean? I don't know.
Had to be another shooter, like. Maybe another two.
God only knows. Yeah. And his claims that his sister Dawn started things and he killed her. It's so hard to know.
They're all found like face down in bed. I don't know. That's a strange. It's a weird place. The Lutz's. I like to believe the Lutz's account.
Yeah. I mean, they stood by it, to their credit. They stood by it. Mm-hmm. And even, I think they did a divorce or something later. I'm not sure. They did stay together. But throughout their years, they've stood by the story.
Stood by it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They never once wavered.
And to this day, the son Daniel, as you mentioned, his documentary has confirmed it. That's the things that happened to him.
I might pick up the book on it now.
The Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
Let's see what I can
read up. Nice. There we go.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know if I'm completely convinced about the Lutzes, but I mean, six people being murdered
that's
creepy shit. It's
a brutal house, yeah.
It's a creepy place, and as I say, New England, that part of America.
My uncle has seen the house.
Has he?
When he lived in New York, he went. They were doing work out in Long Island, and he seen the house. He said it was all behind gates, though. At that point, he said he could see in. He said it just looked creepy. At that point, it did have the old windows in it, though. Mm-hmm. He said it was just a creepy house.
See, I'm surprised someone didn't buy it up and just fucking market it and just be like, and let it get old and decrepit and fall away.
Is it protected now or something? That you can't knock it down or anything either.
I don't know, maybe because it's Dutch colonial, it's probably like a really old type of building.
Yeah.
So they may have protections.
The film, the 2003-04 film, with your boy Ryan in it, is, I love where they kind of come from on the whole, like it was an ancient Indian kind of, not burial ground, but there was like weird shit going on there.
He experiences kind of that possession.
He does,
demonic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Ryan...
You got it now.
I can't even do it. It's ridiculous.
But that's the Amityville. And if you want to learn more about it, I will put the links to the notes I had anyway, definitely in the description of this video. But yeah.
Awesome.
Strange shit.
Awesome.
You will find the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, or you can take the audio version with you wherever you may be. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast, any podcast hosting service. Thank you.
Good night.
And good night. I like that. That's good. I like it. You still trying to think of his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. let's wrap up then with what we've been up to.
Okay. What are you been up to?
Very little.
Think of this guy's name.
Working. I'm playing Fallout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got a text from you about...
Oh yeah, this is what I mean.
Like, oh yeah,
so that was weird though. That your mic weird. Just started moving. The Lutzes? Are you here?
Yeah, I got a random text you about it. I was like, you know, Callaghan's such a bad guy.
I didn't think he's such a bad guy. You know, I went through the whole dream. You know, the dream sequence again.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time where I actively selected like every little part of the memory so you could hear him talking about it. And I was like, he's not such a bad guy.
He had a bad time, didn't he?
He had a really bad time. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've played that campaign.
But I started Far Harbor.
Yeah, that's good.
I did the investigation. Have you played Far Harbor?
Yeah, I literally finished it and nothing else. None of the other DLCs.
I literally got to the house, the first house you go to where the girl has gone missing. And you're collecting like the holotapes before you go to Far Harbor. And then I was reading a couple of reviews and people were like, yeah, you got to be at pretty strong levels to go here. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go back and do like all my side quests and shit first. So this time I think I'm going to side with the Brotherhood. They're the only ones I haven't sided with the whole way.
Yes.
And we're just going to rain terror on the Commonwealth.
We're going to bring justice.
100%. Ad Victorium. But that's what I'm playing at the minute. I'm playing a lot of Fallout, actually. What else?
That's good.
I was hoping to get Call of Duty, but I don't know. I heard that there's a massive like update or patch to begin with.
Yeah, probably is. I'm pretty sure Laura got it.
Oh, did she?
She got it, and she was like, "Are you gonna get it?" I'm like, "I'm not gonna get it."
Okay.
And she hasn't played. She played a little bit of it, mainly multiplayer. But yeah, it's a big patch. I think it's like 102 gigabyte now on PC. I don't know what it is on consoles, but yeah, it's fucking big. Like,
yeah, that I'll just never play that. I can never patch that. You know what I mean?
Out here, you know what though? Like, apparently the campaign's good.
I heard the campaign's very good. And have you seen the list of like maps that they're releasing?
No.
There's a load of big maps coming back in, like from the old Call of Duty and stuff, which is very cool.
I'm just not pushed on it, but
I might play some Black Ops 4 today.
You have Black Ops 4, do you?
We have it. I didn't realise we had it. I walked in this morning, Aaron was sitting playing zombies, so I was like,
fair play.
Since when have we had this? So I might play some Black Ops 4 today.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's only multiplayer though.
Yeah.
Zombies.
Yeah, 100%.
That's weird, but
But yeah, I might do some of that. Or Battlefield. I played a bit of Battlefield during the week.
Battlefield V. I never played it. Battlefield 1. I've been playing The Outer Worlds, which is like a Fallout.
I wanted to buy it.
Spiritual successor.
I wanted to buy it this week, and I didn't.
It's good. I actually got it for free on the Game Pass, so I just haven't even.
Fuck.
I know.
How much do you pay for Game Pass?
Oh, it's like, I guess it's like £7 a month. Something
That's
like that.
Nothing.
It's not, you know. And I got, because I went and got the Ultimate one,
mm-hmm.
which is because I wanted to get the PC Game Pass, because Laura plays a lot of games PC, mm-hmm. and I like to sit there and play as well. And you get it, mm-hmm. the regular Game Pass, and you know, gold for like 15.
Jesus.
Which is grand.
That's nothing. Like, yeah.
But, it's fierce handy, but it's really only good for like whenever you're like, the other words, you're like, fuck, I'd love to play. Oh, there it is. I can just start it. You don't have to worry about like, because I don't think I would have bought it.
Yeah.
If I didn't just have it.
Yeah, okay.
Another game like that was The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Both of those games, I just were like, I'm just going to try it.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good and bad because, you know, I never owned the game, but.
So what does it play like?
I have to own the game. It plays like Fallout. Oh, okay. So similar to Fallout. It's a little bit cleaner. It's a little bit more streamlined than Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good and bad. You know, you maybe want that more kind of.
Does it play as a shooter? Open.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's pretty good as a shooter. It's not the sleekest shooter in the world. But like, it's better than, it's as good as Fallout 4. A little bit better maybe. It's very good. Like, and it's old school, like kind of like you go into conversations, you've loads of options.
Ah, nice.
You know, you build your character, make them smart, make them stupid, make them strong, make them weak, make them fucking stealthy, whatever. And the universe is really cool. It's funny. Like, it's really like sort of that tongue-in-cheek kind of
humor.
Yeah. No, it's a good game.
Okay.
I've done about 8 odd hours in it so far. And excited to get back into it.
I seen, I was down in Craigavon. I was seeing James Sinker this week for first time in like, Jesus, I don't know how long.
How's he getting on?
Good. Very well, actually. But good. He is... he's made his conversion to completely digital now. He's all digital. He don't buy games.
Buy the games anymore.
I was so saddened to hear that. I was so saddened. But we were standing and he got Luigi's Mansion Switch, and I'm like, And then he put me in the mood for Cuphead on Switch as well.
I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have it on Switch. You have Xbox?
No, Switch.
Oh, do you?
I got on the Switch.
Fuck.
Yeah. I wish but I got it digitally, so I can't give it to you. I would give it to you because I stopped playing it.
Yeah. It's supposed to be frustrating as hell.
It is pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
It's fun though.
Whenever you get it,
whenever you get like the hang of it.
Oops, sorry.
When you get the hang of it and you're doing good, you're like, oh, this is
I just
fun.
Don't think
this
I've put good. Enough time into my Switch.
I don't. I 1000% don't.
And I want to.
I know, so do I. You know? I wish I had more places to go.
Yeah.
And I could play it on the go.
Exactly, yeah.
But I drive everywhere, so I can't.
Yeah. They should make that, you can dock that in your car.
That would be so unsafe.
I know. That'd be pretty cool. I'd have to play some Mario Kart though.
Yeah. Did you see the Mario Kart Tour for a phone?
No.
Yeah. One's in work are playing it like every lunchtime now. It's insane. Haven't tried it myself, but there you go. If you like Mario Kart on the go.
I'm going to continue with Fallout until I find something else that tickles my fancy, I think. Maybe The Witcher come December time.
There you go.
As long as they don't have like RPG fatigue.
True, that's a very real easy thing. Very easy thing to come across. It's a real thing. I actually got the Witcher Game of the Year edition over the summer because it was like £4. So I got all the DLC. Apparently there's like 30 odd hours of DLC.
No way.
So I'm like, I'll probably play
Isn't that like that Blood and Wine
and Hearts and something?
That Blood and Wine was supposed to be phenomenal.
Yeah. It won Game of the Year.
Yeah. And it's a DLC.
It's a DLC. Yeah. So, okay. Sinker always complained about that.
Yeah, yeah, because it was a DLC.
But
that's what I'm going to do. I have so much of my... I'm only back into playing... I haven't played games in so long. So
I know.
Now I'm back devoting a bit of time.
I play a lot of Apex still.
Oh, nice.
Me and Laura play a bit of Apex. Most evenings.
I plan on also getting the little USB for my PlayStation Classic.
USB what?
It's like a little, it's called like the blue something, and it's basically you jailbroke it and you get like 100 games on it.
Right, yes, yes.
So I'm going to do
that. Yeah, because you can only put so many, like, it only comes with so many games.
There's 20 on it, but like this thing gives you like 100 games. Yeah, I was looking through them and they're like all class, like arcade games. And I was like, oh, I'll pick probably it up, do that. It. Yeah, it's only 20 quid.
Actually, really interesting I seen the other day. You know, because like, I'm talking about Game Pass, PlayStation now have PlayStation Now or whatever.
Mm.
And it's the same sort of thing at about the same sort of price. So, like, I think they've got God of War and Uncharted 4 on it. No. But I'm not... See, the thing with it is...
Have you seen the new covers that they're doing for those games?
No. They good? They sexy?
It's like PlayStation, like, classics now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like... It's
Platinum,
like,
remember Platinum?
Yeah. So it's like... Have you seen, like, the... You know the Disney cases that they're doing for kids now? And it's like... So yeah. It's like... oh, fuck, it's so hard to explain. So it's like a matte finish.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's just all silhouette. It's a silhouette of like say God of War. It's just like Kratos. And Atreus.
Yeah,
silhouette
yeah.
In the front. But they have it. They have The Last of Us. They have Spider-Man, Ratchet and Clank.
Just the big
Uncharted.
Ones.
And they just look so sexy. I'm like, that would just be such a nice
You just want collect. That in the collection. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so good. But yeah, go on, sorry.
Just like, I don't know if you can download those games or you have to stream them because, you know, you used to have to stream them.
Yeah.
But they made it more reasonably priced and I was like, oh, and you can do it on, you can stream it on PC as well. So I was like, nice. You could play fucking Uncharted on PC. I was like, mad. Nice. Also see Death Stranding come out. Or it's coming out like a couple of days. Death Stranding.
Why did I think it was so far away?
Finally, the Enigma is here.
Yeah, you gotta pick it up?
No. I was never going to pick it up.
No.
And then I've heard that it's...
I might just watch someone play it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I've heard it's very Kojima-y.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Yeah.
You know, I know people love him, but I never really got... Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, now that I
don't think I'm gonna get it either.
Okay.
But some people like have been critical of it. Like I think it got like a 6.9 or something, or 6.8 on IGN, which is not a great.
This is his first game in quite a while, isn't it?
It's his first game independent.
Oh yeah.
So. Okay. But the people who like it love it. You know what I mean? Like, so I'd say if you like a game, you're probably gonna fucking love it. Like.
Yeah.
But it hasn't convinced me that I'm gonna enjoy it.
Yeah. That's all I've been playing, I think.
Started reading fucking The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Nice.
Yeah.
How's that?
It's a big book.
Yeah.
It's not as big as Steve Jobs, but
Steve Jobs is a pretty big book.
It's about fucking 600 pages.
Jesus.
And like, it's like,
that's a beefy motherfucker.
It's like print right to the top of the thing.
Oh, you know? Apparently that can be a bit disheartening at times.
It can, but I'm getting through it. I'm about a third of it way through it now.
Have you watched the movie?
No.
That movie was recommended to me by me and man. So I picked it up. I can give it to you.
Have you watched it? I'm going to read the book first.
Okay. Oh, yeah, true.
I'll read the book. And there's apparently going to be a trilogy, so I might...
Film's excellent.
I've heard.
That's David Fincher as well.
Yeah.
Film's excellent.
I've heard this trilogy of it, though, so I might have to read all three before I start watching films.
I haven't watched anything. I think we spoke a bit about that earlier.
Yeah.
I haven't really been watching a whole pile.
I'm pushing for 12. I have to get 12 books read. I have to get a book a month.
By the end of the year?
By the end of the year.
Okay.
I'm close.
Good.
Yeah, very close, but I probably need to read at least two more.
Okay.
Minimum.
Good.
I'll check up on
that. I got fucked by Amazon like it's about a month ago now. Bought three books. They were coming from far away, so I was expecting it pretty long to read it. Delivery date came and passed, and then the seller left the Amazon marketplace.
Just gone.
It's like, oh, fuck. So I've been like hounding them with emails, still no refunds, still no nothing.
Bastards.
It's so disappointing because it's the first time Amazon have ever done it to me.
I've been
fucked like before. Was it
Amazon or was it one of those sellers?
No, it was a seller through Amazon. Yeah, it was in the Amazon marketplace.
Yeah.
But I rebought the book, so I'm waiting for them to come this week. So
fair play. Hopefully they give you a refund on that. That's a bit scummy. Like.
I know. I'm well on track for, I don't know how many books this year. I've done a lot of reading.
Yeah, you were reading a lot.
Yeah.
Reading a lot of books, but
I want to read that Slab again as well.
Before. Oh, nice one. I actually want to get reading that at some point as well.
I have to play Gears 5 as well.
Oh, yeah, Gears 5, yeah. I haven't had one back to it now in a long while.
That's it. Just done and dusted.
Yeah, I played the campaign. I was satisfied with it. I'll play the Gears 6 campaign as well, but I don't think I'm going to be playing much more Horde or anything.
No.
Unless, like, the likes of you or somebody who else is like...
And we play some Horde.
Yeah, I'd love to play some Horde.
You had any nice food?
I had a Cuban sandwich yesterday.
What's that like?
A Cuban sandwich factory in
Belfast. What are they like?
Really, really nice, yeah. It was like kind of like a baguette roll, but like kind of softer on the inside and bigger. And we had some, it was called a, what do you call those things, Chris? Oh my God.
Describe it to me. And I'll
it was like chili beef and cheese. Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe.
Yeah, Sloppy Joe one and a chicken, like a Cuban chicken one as well.
Nice.
Really, really nice. Really, really nice. Had some, had a Five Guys during the week as well.
Yeah.
Had a Domino's last week.
Nice.
I've had a bit of everything, but nothing. And that was the only new thing that I've had recently.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What about yourself?
No. No, I can't think. No.
Didn't
I
eat this week.
No, nothing. No. Nothing of major importance I have had, no.
Very, yeah.
No, it's been pretty quiet.
That's good.
I think that's me wrapped up.
That's
I don't
think
I have anything else to talk about, no. I got my hair cut, me and man. We're talking to him for a good bit.
Respect, me man.
It was good. It was a good haircut. It was
that's good stuff. Good experience. That's good stuff.
Nope. That's it. That's all I got. Just work. Just work.
Work, work, work.
Oh, I did a 24-hour shift during the week.
Can you do that?
No, like, we shouldn't. But
legally?
The way it worked out was I came in at 7 p.m. and there were contractors in the building that had to be in like overnight, so I had to stay with them.
Oh, fuck, right.
So I went right.
That's bullshit.
I went right through to 7 the next morning. And then instead of that, then led me to Halloween Day, and I knew we were closing early Halloween Day. So I was like, I may as well just stay on to 6 o'clock till we close. 7 o'clock by the time I get out. I did come home and have a shower though.
Oh, right. Okay.
I came home, literally came home, showered, turned and drove back in. It didn't hit me until about 5 o'clock that evening, and then just like a ton of bricks. And then I came home that evening.
Did you drive home?
Yeah.
You were worse than being drunk.
I know. Yeah. I was going to say that. I was like, oh, this is, I know how dangerous this is. Like, and the whole way through that night as well, I was sitting, because after reading that guy's book, what do you call him?
Matthew Walker.
I was like, I'm killing myself here. Like, I need to sleep. You know? It's just not healthy. It's not good.
I know,
good,
right?
You know?
I'm only about 60% of the way through it now, according to Kindle. And I'm like, because I only read it whenever I'm like taking a break in work.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm just like getting a new piece of information every day.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy.
It's not good for you.
No, it's not. It's like, if you're up 19 hours and you're driving, it's the same as driving at the legal limit.
Yeah.
For alcohol. That's fucking crazy.
So fucking stupid. Like, it's so
crazy. I always remember the time that I was driving and I'd done a full all-nighter. I'd done 24 hours a week plus about 6 hours.
Jesus Christ.
And I was driving up to Belfast. It was my dissertation for university. Yeah, I was driving up to Belfast from Newry. And I drove for about 20 minutes the wrong way, away from Belfast, down the motorway. Just, and I was thinking about this today because I was driving down and I was like, how the fuck did I not notice this is completely wrong?
Exactly. That's just how impaired your judgment
my
is.
My mind was not focusing on the fact that my surroundings were wrong because I've driven that way to Belfast countless times.
Multiple times, yeah.
But it wasn't until I was at the turn off for where I normally go onto the motorway that I realised, fuck, I went the wrong way.
That's hard. And to know you have to then turn and come back.
At that time I didn't know just how dangerous it was, and now I realise like that was, I'm not going to crash or kill somebody.
I wasn't well last night either. I was working last night again. Something wrong with my stomach then hit me in work, came home, really wasn't well. Went to bed real early. Woke at 1 o'clock, couldn't get back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up staying up to like 5 o'clock watching Narcos.
So my fuck.
Sleep pattern is just gone.
Fucked.
Like, yeah, I feel so shitty today.
This is it, boy.
But as he says in that book as well, you can't. There's no such thing as catching up on sleep. You can't catch
once you've lost it, you've lost it.
That's it. You've lost it.
You might as well just focus on getting
exactly.
the next night's sleep.
I feel so bad. I feel like my body's bad.
You can't catch up on sleep, but you do need recovery sleep. So it's like you're going to sleep for longer, but you're not going to get the benefits that you lost.
No,
the night
exactly.
Before.
So,
I have one more thing that I just remembered as well.
Oh, is this the...
This is the pizza thing?
Yes.
So let me get this up. This. Shocked me to my very core. I think I was talking to a couple of people about this. But this is a YouGov poll.
Mm-hmm.
You know YouGov, they do like statistics and stuff. The UK's favourite pizza topping.
Yeah.
What do you think it is, Chris?
Well, the, I mean, a large part of me wants to just go, oh, it's pepperoni. It's got to be pepperoni. But I know it's not because this is
too easy.
It's too easy. Yeah. I'm going to say it's something like, is it ham?
Ham was a popular one. Ham was very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give you the reason that this is such a stupid answer, in my opinion, is because they haven't asked you what is your favorite pizza topping. They've asked you what toppings do you have on a pizza.
Okay.
And then they've selected the one that most people say they would have, right? So ham was pretty high up there.
The way you've just said that now is making me think that this has got to be something stupid like fucking peppers or something like that.
No.
No. Okay.
It is still something stupid like that, but it's not peppers.
Okay.
Mushrooms. Is the topping of
choice. Because it's like that side thing that comes with pepperoni and mushroom chicken.
Would you have mushroom on your pizza? Sure, I would have mushroom.
But would
on
you
pizza.
Go in and just order a mushroom pizza?
No, you fucking wouldn't.
Like, yeah. But fucking stupid.
The way they phrased it though, it pissed me off. I mean, they put it on Twitter and it pissed a lot of people off. They were like, the UK's favorite pizza topping is mushrooms. People are not happy.
No.
Well, no shit, they're not happy.
Yeah.
That's
a terrible pizza topic.
65% of Brits.
Don't get me wrong. I like mushrooms on pizza.
Yeah, but you'd never have a mushroom pizza. But 65% of Brits said they like mushroom on their pizza. 62% said ham. So ham was a very, very close second. Then you were right again. Peppers at 60. Chicken at 56. And pepperoni at 56.
Jesus.
Pepperoni way down there compared to...
I thought it was for sure going to be pepperoni.
Yeah, it is America's favourite.
Yeah.
Easy.
Pepperoni
pizza. It's pepperoni. It's my favourite.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Hands down.
I never really like pepperoni on pizza.
Do you like chicken on pizza? I can't get on board with chicken on pizza.
Nah. It's okay. As long as it's too dry.
Yeah. It's too dry.
Dry.
I don't think there's any other interesting things.
I've started having like a load of like different shit on pizza now, which is really weird.
Will you have olives on pizza? 33% of people say they have olives. Spinach. I never have olives. Spinach is there as well, 26%.
Yeah. Is pineapple there?
Yeah, pineapple is more than adequate. A lot of people are quite happy. At least 40% of people are happy to have pineapple.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I know people. But the 60% who don't want it, vehemently don't want it.
They will push that into your face. People. Yeah.
But there's also two fish options.
Tuna and anchovy.
Tuna and anchovy. Yeah. 22% and 18%.
I've had anchovies and pizza before. Not what I thought it was going to be like. I always wanted it from Futurama.
Exactly.
I always wanted it.
They're super greasy, aren't they?
They're really greasy and they're really salty.
Yeah.
They're like, ugh.
Grim enough. Like,
it was okay. But
yeah, I'd like to try a couple of different things on pizza, but I just love that cheese and like the fat on the pepperoni just works so well.
I get it. I'm eating a lot of new food. Obviously, I'm 4 months vegan now. This week, which is it's a big step.
That's an achievement.
Yeah, I haven't had like dairy or eggs or any kind of cheeses or meat.
I had so many good cheeses.
I haven't. And
you had a whole tub of Philadelphia the other day.
Did you?
On top of bagels, yeah.
It's so good though.
So good.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, it's forcing me to try shit that like I wouldn't have had before. So I'm eating a lot of like different toppings on pizzas, as long as it's a vegan based pizza.
Yeah, what is required for vegan based pizza?
So just as long as it doesn't have any milk.
Egg or milks?
Yeah, we're good. There's a lot of places now are doing like a cauliflower base, and I haven't tried that, but I don't know what that'd be like. Falafel is very popular.
What does falafel taste like? It looks quite nice.
It is. It's good. I think you'd enjoy it. It's just like a spicy kind of... I don't even know.
It's like sweet potato or something again.
It's not even like sweet potato. It's like a spicy kind of... Do you ever have like samosas, Indian samosas or bhajis or anything like that? No? Not a big Indian fan?
No.
It's hard to explain what it is. It's just
like
a ball of spice, basically. But it's good. It's good. Okay. It's not like spicy. Is it? Oh, that's spicy. It's just like a nice spicy blend of herbs. They're very good, yeah.
I'll try it. There's falafel in our deli and I always meant to try it.
You should try the spicy veggie wrap from McDonald's. It's falafel in it. It's a good like breaker into falafel. If that makes
Fair
sense,
play. You know? Have you seen the Impossible Whopper on Burger King? Which is this thing. I've seen that,
yeah.
It's not a vegetarian burger, but it is a 100% meat-free burger.
Meat-free burger, yeah.
Yeah, so it's
I bought the Beyond Meat burgers. We have them in the fridge there. We're going to have them today.
We haven't had them yet.
I can't wait to try them.
Yeah, I've heard... See, I actually was looking into this 2 days ago, and I was like, I really want to try that Impossible Whopper.
Yeah.
And then I looked up the Beyond Meat, and Beyond Meat's meant to be good, but it's not just the same level. Not talking about flavor, talking about similarity to real meat.
To real meat, yeah.
Impossible is very much similar than Beyond, but apparently Beyond is a very nice burger.
Oh, okay.
So,
you know. I'm looking forward to trying that.
Do you have many veggie burgers?
Yeah.
I couldn't eat them, but
I have a lot of like bean burgers and stuff like that. Yeah. Bean burgers and like nut burgers and stuff like that.
I just couldn't get into them, but
they're good. I had a lot of dad's made me a few times vegan lasagna, which is quite good actually. Some soy meat substitute. It's really good.
You can make a vegan lasagna. Vegan lasagna with that corn shit.
Corn. Yeah.
That's really it. Like,
yeah.
There's no cheese or anything on that, is there?
You can get vegan cheese put on it.
What is vegan cheese?
It's made with coconut oil instead of dairy.
Oh,
it literally tastes exactly like cheese, only it doesn't
look coconut like cheese.
Yeah, but it's good, yeah. I will, next podcast, I'll have a couple of vegan snacks you can try.
Okay, cool.
Because the brownies that we make, the vegan brownies, like...
to die for.
Unbelievable.
Chocolate's fine, isn't it? 100%.
No.
Like dark chocolate.
Oh yeah, like dark chocolate. Yeah, dark chocolate is good. Over like a certain percent is good, is okay.
Yeah.
As long as there's no milk in it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm getting kind of hungry now.
I had a bagel this morning. Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Can you
eat bagels don't have milk or butter or anything?
No. Vegan bagels. You know the New York deli bagels that you get?
Yeah.
The New York, they're suitable for vegans.
Vegetables. There you go.
Yeah. The cinnamon and raisin ones are delicious, but I prefer... Did you have one of
those? No, I was going to get those. I got the sesame one instead.
Sesame one's
they're
good.
They're lovely. Yeah. Toasted.
Yes, of course. Cinnamon and raisin's good, but you can't keep it in too long or else you'll burn the...
Cinnamon?
The raisin, and then you'll get like a bitter taste of it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Just a word of warning if you ever
fair get play, fair
I had
play.
Avocado on my bagel this morning. Delicious.
I had the best bagel of my life in a place called Inuri, called the Bagel Legend.
Right.
It had chicken and stuff on it, but yeah. It had chicken and like a sauce and cheese and then this slice of avocado. And I was like, what is this?
It's so good, yeah.
What is this? This is amazing.
Yeah.
My mouth is watering.
It just takes it to like a higher level, you know.
And I don't even like guacamole or stuff like that there.
Do you not like guacamole?
I only ever have it on burritos. Like,
yeah.
And like, I just don't care for it there.
Do you ever have it like on nachos?
No. Jesus no. Christ. I must try it. Because I didn't realize I liked avocado until
make
I tried
your own,
it.
Just a real simple one. Just mash up some avocado with salt and a wee bit of garlic.
Right here.
There you go.
Go for it.
We stress one. Okay, I'm getting hungry, so we better wrap this up.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody who's tuned in. This has been episode 88 of the podcast. Remember, you can find it, the video version on youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast, or you can take the audio wherever you may be. Just search for us on any podcast hosting service. Search for the Empty Promise Podcast. You can get in touch with us either through Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Just search for the Empty Promise Podcast. And our email address is...
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
There you go. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.